I'm Sandra, and I'm just the professional your small business was looking for. But you didn't hire me because you didn't use LinkedIn Jobs. LinkedIn has professionals you can't find anywhere else, including those who aren't actively looking for a new job, but might be open to the perfect role, like me.
In a given month, over 70% of LinkedIn users don't visit other leading job sites. So if you're not looking on LinkedIn, you'll miss out on great candidates, like Sandra. Start hiring professionals like a professional. Post your free job on linkedin.com/people today.
Intercontinental.
Hello and welcome to Two in the Think Tank.
Tank Intercontinental Edition.
Yes, Alistair.
They said it probably was still going to get done.
They said that the conditions under which we record this podcast couldn't get worse. And yet, I think today we may have found several exciting new ways to make recording the podcast more difficult.
Opposite sides of the world for the first time. I have been out in minus 13 today.
Wow.
I was out with no gloves for a very small amount of time while I was putting on somebody else's gloves, a child.
Mm.
And I got to tell you, my fingers literally like got into a painful cold state.
Don't they say that you should always apply your own gloves before you apply the gloves of others? Isn't that one of the rules?
Yes. I mean, that would make sense. You know, it makes sense for face masks. But it wouldn't make so much sense for face masks if for some reason the face mask would make you unable to put on other people's face masks.
Well, if you had to apply the face mask with your face. So if you had to use your lips to apply the other person's face mask.
Yes. So, I mean, for horses...
I'm sure you wouldn't... in a horse aeroplane.
Yeah, in a horse aeroplane. Always apply other people's face masks first.
Other people's or other horses? Or on a horse airplane, do you think that horses are people? Why the long haul?
Yes, I think horses are people. Why the long haul flight? Because I'm trying to get to the big race.
Ah, the big race that stops the nation. Yes. This is the show where we come up with 5 sketch ideas. Idea number 1, horse aeroplanes.
It's already written down, Andy. It's already written down. And I'm Alistair George William Trombley Birchall. And what's your name?
I am Andy Matthews. Andy.
Andy Matt short. Hughes.
Now, what about this as an idea? Everybody loves a continental breakfast. How about this?
Intercontinental breakfast.
It's just like a continental breakfast, but they launch the croissants at you from across a national border. Or no, it would have to be a continental border. So it would have to be on the border of presumably Europe and Asia. So you would want to go to the continental border, and then you would want the buffet to be in Asia, but the dining area is in Europe. And I'm not sure whether or not... Yes?
Where's the continent border? Is it at the end of the tectonic plate?
I don't know. I don't know. I'm not a gastrogeologist, which is, I imagine,
not,
the sort of people.
Would you consider yourself incontinental? Did you just disappear, or are you just?
I'm
breathing?
Still okay, here. I'm still
having a big old breath. I'm still breathing. Yeah.
It's really good. Do you think that when
Intercontinental breakfast, could it also be where all the... Oh, no.
Yeah, no, it's okay, Alistair. It's okay, it's fine.
It's our first big intercontinental error. Do you think an intercontinental breakfast could be all of the continental breakfasts mixed together?
Mm.
Does that seem like intercontinental?
Yeah, it could be. I was hoping that it could be like we could take the intercontinental from the intercontinental ballistic missile, but my version, I think, would have to be an intercontinental ballistic breakfast. And that would, because I wanted the croissants, as you may have heard me say, to be launched at you from across
the
continental boundary.
Yeah. I guess if all the foods were just imported from other continents.
That's true. An intercontinental breakfast.
Flying on a plane, I suppose a cargo plane is in many ways them being launched.
I agree.
But you just want them to have their own rocket that they would have to, in order for the expense to be justified, they would have to be such a fancy croissant.
We have achieved lunch. Alistair, you think that when Elton John, he is in the last stages of life, and I imagine he's still giving concerts. He's no longer on tour, but he's giving concerts from a...
The last stages for him are his last stages.
Yes, exactly right. But he's now in a gurney. Do you think he will amend...
What's a gurney?
A gurney is one of those hospital beds that you can wheel around.
Ah, yes.
Feels like a word from a different time.
It's kind of similar to a Guernsey.
Take a Guernsey at our gurneys, is what they say at the gurney warehouse.
It's a perfect name for a gurney museum. Gurney Guernsey.
There is also an island called Guernsey.
Is there? And what's the other word for like a that's like this, that's for like a sports jersey.
That's jersey, I think, is what you're thinking of.
No, there is another word that's like gurney. But I think it's like,
sports jersey, God. A word that's more like Guernsey than jersey already is.
Yeah.
Oh, two words that are almost as possible as it's close for two words to be without being the same word. You want something that's even closer than that. Wow. Because Jersey is already another island in the channel.
Guernsey. Wait, is that right? I think a Guernsey is a thick knitted navy blue sweater worn by fishermen or a sleeveless football shirt worn by Australian players.
So that's a Guernsey.
Yeah.
You're right, Alistair. There was a word that was more like Guernsey than Jersey. It turned out the word was Guernsey. I apologize.
Well, you know what? Anytime I need to win an argument, I can just pretend I look something up.
Oh, that's true. There is a special kind of accent. Would you call it an accent or just a voice that you use when you're reading out something from a reputable website? You just got to pause a couple more times to make it sound like you're reading.
Oh, yeah. It's called the reader's voice. Apparently, the reader's voice is used when taking words from a paragraph written on a web page.
That was really good. That was incredible. To the point where I don't even know how deep to go into
how deep this goes.
Yeah.
Yeah. Andy, I completely ruined the flow of your Guernsey gurney thing.
I don't think I had anything.
The island of Guernsey, and you're going to go into the museum that they're going to have there.
Yeah, that's all.
So there's three things called Guernsey. A word that almost feels like it's almost as untouched as the very island of Guernsey sounds like it is.
Isn't it crazy that we've triple dipped on Guernsey before we've explored, as we've said on the podcast before, some of the brilliant single syllable words that are yet to be utilized. And yet we're going back for a third helping of Guernsey before we've even tried flan.
Well, yeah, and slonk is still up for grabs. Tranks.
Slonk lying there untouched on the conceptual buffet.
Yeah, Junge.
Junge.
Junge is still there, up for grabs. It's still not been claimed.
Not a nibble has been taken from Junge. And what, you want me to scrape all of this into the compost? Kids, you haven't touched your Junge. No more Guernsey until you've touched your Junge.
And while you're at it, why don't you go touch my Junge?
Oh, remember it was kids I was talking to here.
I know. Well, Andy, you got to remember that Junge doesn't have a meeting yet.
Oh, that's
I'm going to put something really credible and good in there. Something very wholesome and credible.
Okay. All right. Let's go. You're a parent of children. These are your children, your young children. Okay. Mm-hmm. Imagine this scenario. Yeah. You say, yeah. All right, kids, touch my junge. What could yeah. your junge possibly be in there?
It's
bear
all
in
the
mind the tone of
rolls.
Voice that you've used.
It's the individual bread rolls that are about to be needed that all of the members of the family are needing for themselves. But I'm off busy creating new definitions for one syllable words, and I could use the kids to touch my junge, so that it could be ready to go into the oven. Don't you think that's a wholesome thing? Touch my junge.
All right, I'll allow it.
You're
released back into society.
Could also be a each family member has their own frozen frog that they've taken out of the freezer, and they're bringing it back to life. Mm-hmm. And the human touch is the best way to bring it back to room temperature quicker, especially from its frozen state. And so you say, "Kids, can you touch my junge?" So that while I'm busy, I'm on the phone at the moment with the Oxford Dictionary.
Mm.
I'm giving them some new definitions. You should be able to just call the Oxford Dictionary and submit words. I can't believe this doesn't exist.
Yeah.
What, do they all have to find them themselves? What are they just like looking through internet forums and Twitter and stuff like that, hoping
to find
new words?
Do you think
they
should have a hotline? And if you spot a word in the wild, right, a previously undefined word, or noise, any undefined noise, you contact you call them up and you say, "Have you heard this one?" Right, and they go, "Oh, brilliant." Yeah. Because they must have a whole lot of different definitions, like loose, like unpaired socks in a sock drawer.
Mm.
They probably got a whole lot of definitions that don't have a pair to go with them yet.
Well, I mean, how good would it be if you could also call up another line and hand in some definitions for things that you think would be useful to have a word?
It's really hot.
You know what I mean? It's two hotlines. And it's just all they do is
Alistair,
pair them.
I'm having some audio, our first intercontinental audio difficulties.
Yeah.
Can you hear me okay?
In what, I can hear you okay. Can you hear me okay?
I can hear you sort of okay. It's dropping in and out a little bit.
Oh my goodness.
It may have been because I had the phone sitting on my knee.
Well, weren't we calling from the computer now because we were getting less problems through that?
That was never established as like the new default solution, Alice.
I established it. And I was mostly saying this in this way as a reminder that we had done it once and it had fixed a lot of our phone-based problems.
I don't think it had fixed enough of the problems to make it instantly the default when we've had phone success for years now. One day of phone difficulties, you suddenly assume that
Andy,
computers...
let's not forget all the phone difficulties we've had over the time.
They're forgotten.
That somebody chose to live far away, Andy. Remember when you chose to live far away?
When we do a little countdown thing before we start the podcast. And, you know, where we try and do 1, 2, 3, 4, 5, alternating who says which number. I'm talking to the listeners now. And Alistair was saying, "Oh, there was a bit of delay on yours. Yours were coming in a bit slow, like I'm solely responsible for the delay. Like he's got a blazing connection from Canada to Australia, but I'm sending my packets of data back via some arcane, back by camel."
Yeah, Andy's having to use the local guy at the what's the name of the town that you live in?
Mount
Edgerton post office, who rides a donkey into to each house.
Donkey to
yes,
the node.
It's me, the MBN guy. I'll take your words down.
National Beast of Burden Network.
Yeah. you say the things into a microphone. He gets it, and then he yells it to a microphone that's closer to an actual node. But then he has it converted into an Andy tone.
I say it into a microphone, but the microphone, there's no cable in there. It's just a little tube that goes into his ear. And then he nods like he's remembered it all. And then he runs off to somebody else. I actually think that's a
little
bit
Do you ever watch anything? Yeah. Do you ever see guys translating things pretty much on the go? And you see them like the person who's like speaking a foreign language, which to them would be speaking the regular language. Mm. But it would be hard for them to believe that while they're standing next to a translator who's waiting.
In their language, if you translate the word foreign translates to regular. So that's
regular person, regular person language.
Yeah, they have a different have a different word for foreign over there.
That's right.
They call it sort of normal.
Yeah, and then and normal they call that weird. Yeah. And
they're kind of anyway. Weird that way. Sorry.
Oh,
they
you meant normal.
Call it normal. Alistair. Alistair.
I was going to say, but you know when you see somebody like saying something and then there's a translator waiting.
Yes.
And you can tell that they're doing way too big of a paragraph of speaking before they let the the translator go. Mm-hmm. And you're like, he's not going to get all this. He's not going to be able to remember everything that you said.
Yes, it's like you're force feeding a goose. He can't take anymore.
His brain is too fat.
Well, the sentences...
You can see it start leaking out of his ears.
When he regurgitates these sentences, they're going to be so sort of rich with meaning.
Oh, imagine that. Imagine that, like, you can... So this is the sketch, right?
Mm.
It's a guy, he goes, oh, hola! Whatever, and then the translator comes on the mic and goes, hello!
Mm.
And then maybe the person goes, Texas! Like that, and then the and then the translator goes, Texas! Like that, and he goes, mi nombre no soy una categorista de policía economía pronto pronto questo sicchio benenizio miscolando bene po tre o quattro persone o una pasticcio small boy garam masala and Pakistani Bangladesh is a masturbation, right? And so then as he's doing that, you just see the translator going, trying to hold it in, like just trying to like remember it, going,
and his head is actually swelling up physically, swelling up his cheeks,
and his face is starting to really go red,
starting to leak out of his lips. He's trying to hold them in, but little squeaks of translated words are coming
maybe
out.
a minute and a half in, he grabs a notepad out of his pocket and he writes down one word.
Yeah, or he grabs a vomit bag and he just yells into that for a while.
Like that.
A bit of verbal and then, vomit.
And then it cuts to him and then he goes, thank you!
Yeah, it's really funny.
You know, some bullshit. Yeah. You know, that's not the joke we want to do. That's not the joke we want to do. But
it's the joke we've done, and well,
no, Andy, no. Can we take it back? Is there any way to relive this moment?
I'm afraid not. Alistair, I think that's a really funny idea. And I also would like to take a moment to applaud your fake foreign language. I think I heard a full Lagos ad in there at one point.
Yeah, the full Lagos ad. I mean, it was attempted. You know, at first it was just some Spanish words, I think. And then
it might have gone Italian.
And I really had to stretch.
And then you were saying the names of countries in Southeast
foreign
Asia.
Countries. Yeah.
But it was really good because it was non-offensive, I would say, on any level, because it was so garbled. And yeah, really,
thank you.
Really terrific. Inspiring. We could all learn a lot from that, I think, about how to live in harmony. Oh, yeah.
Thank you. Thank you, Andy. Maybe if we all spoke fake foreign languages to each other, we would be more welcoming of real foreign languages.
I tried to pitch a sketch. Remember when we were doing that My Sandwich show with John Conway and Jonathan Schuster and other people? Was Anne Edmonds in that briefly?
Yeah, Ted Wilson.
Oh, there you go. Ted Wilson was in that. Wow. Oh, amazing. I tried to pitch a sketch to John Conway about a guy who's like, right, who's about to have a dinner party, and he's got family coming around, and he's got his friends there, and he's like, oh, just before my dad gets here, I've got to warn you, my dad is a fake Italian. And that's all I had. But I thought it was a really funny idea that it's like, no, he is a fake Italian. He's not pretending to be Italian. He is a fake Italian. So he speaks in a fake Italian accent and makes up fake Italian words. Somebody tries to talk to him in genuine Italian, but he finds that really offensive.
Yeah, but it's not the same. It's not the same language.
Yeah, exactly. And if you want to talk to him, you got to talk in fake Italian.
Yeah. I think I remember you talking about this, and I feel like I must have at least said, yeah, I like that.
I would like to think so, Alistair, but we were so insecure at that time. Who could have? I never would have expected you to support
Do you think
me.
It would have been, was it before or after the invention of Two in the Think Tank?
Might have been.
Because it could almost be a Two in the Think Tank idea.
Could have originated on Two in the Think Tank. You're right. You might be completely right. Alistair, do you realize this is episode 410? We're already a tenth of the way.
We're too close to 500
we're
already.
We're way
aren't we?
Too close to 500. What the fuck happened? How did that happen?
I don't know, Andy.
Are you even going to be back in Canada in time? It seemed back from Canada in time. Like, it seemed originally that we were going to have heaps of time and you were definitely going to be back. And now I'm like, I don't think you'll even be back.
Well, Andy, well, I'll be back for it. It's like, we'll just make it happen. Even if I just have to come back for it.
That'd be so good.
You know?
What if we met halfway and recorded it in international waters?
Yeah, or in Singapore.
Or in Singapore, international dirt.
You know? On internet, yeah. I think that'd be great. Maybe we could do it in Malaysia, and then we'd have to, like, be very, like, careful which sketch ideas we come up with. Because I think maybe there's restrictions on what you can say.
Yeah. Or in Thailand. We wouldn't be able to do all our sketches about the King of Thailand.
About the Thai King. I think 500 was the one where we were going to have our most.
Yeah. I've never wanted to make a joke about the King of Thailand. Mm. Never had any occur to me, but I'd worry that if I was doing it over there, some would slip out. I think it would be hard not to.
But you know what would be crazy? You go to Thailand, all right, and then they're like, you can't make jokes about the king, right? And then you go to Laos, and they're like, oh, no, here you have to make jokes about the king.
The king of Thailand or the king of Laos?
No, king of Laos.
Oh, okay.
Lao king, right?
Yeah.
And so then every day you have to make at least one joke about the king.
Mm. And they've got to be original.
Or else... Yeah, it has to be original or else they put you in jail or they cut your hands off or something like that. So you wouldn't want to like travel with your kids or something like that because you'd forget, wouldn't you? You'd just be like...
I think this is a good idea. Maybe if not for a sketch but for a movie, but then we could just do a trailer for the movie, then that once again becomes a sketch. And this is the idea. You're living in the world where the king's like, oh no, I actually have a great sense of humor about myself.
Mm.
I love it when people make jokes about me. Make a joke about me. Make a fucking joke about me right now.
Make a joke about me.
I love it.
Yeah, I love it. Do it right now. Mm. And everybody just spends the days walking past the king. But he gets really upset if it's one that he's heard before.
Well, maybe there would be tax collectors. There would be men who go from house to house. And every day, you know, they come to collect the jokes and they write them down in their big, big joke book of jokes about the king. And they take them back to the king and they read them all out to the king. And if there's any missing there, the king gets really angry. He knows.
Like any jokes missing, or any people missing.
Any jokes missing. Or any, well, the jokes would be missing because the people hadn't contributed them.
No, I know, but I mean, like, how does he recognize that they're missing? Is it just not enough numbers? Or is it just that, like, oh, they haven't cut... Nobody's made a joke about my tush.
No, I mean, I think it's the numbers, and, you know, maybe...
Okay, it's a numbers thing.
Maybe he is handed the book, and he goes through, and if there's a blank space next to any of the names of the people in the village, and you want to hope that that's because that person has fallen down a well and died. God, because that's a better way to go than what the king has in store.
Yeah. Do you think that this is a society in which joke writers would be king, apart from the king?
The king.
Because, you know what I mean? Like, there would be, but probably a lot of people would come to them and try to get, like, you know, get them to write 7 jokes for them every week.
Mm, wow. Yeah, I think you're right. And I think that maybe that would be sort of, or would that be the role of the peasants, right? Because the lords of the land, they wouldn't have to write any of their own jokes about the king. They would have...
Yeah, that's true.
Joke writers.
They're toiling.
Toiling.
They're out there toiling, trying to write jokes about the king. That
in the field, in the field of comedy, that is.
Because it's important that the higher your ranking in this society, the better your jokes be.
Of course, it would be expected.
So, like, the Archibald or whatever should just have one of the best jokes.
The Archibald?
I don't know what an arch... I don't know, Andy. I just was trying to pick a high-ranking
thing,
and instead I've picked a name.
Archduke, maybe?
Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
Sure.
Sure.
I mean, but name a word that sounds more like a title that isn't a title.
Oh, see, you've put in the caveat that I should have put in there with my whole Guernsey jersey thing. You've closed up that loophole.
Andy, you got to close a loophole when you make a challenge.
I wonder if Reginald sounds more like one than Archibald. I think Reginald.
Than Archibald?
Perhaps. I think.
Really?
Yeah.
Maybe, okay, if it does sound more like it, it doesn't sound like as high a ranking. And maybe that's the one loophole that you've created for yourself.
You got to make your own loophole.
He's the Reginald. But, I mean, you've also taken some of the conventions from Archibald.
I have. I owe a lot. Yeah. I stand on the shoulders of giants.
I mean, it's really so derivative that it would be impossible to say that it sounds more like. Anyway, I don't want to hurt you any further. I know this is something that's really important to you.
Yeah, it is actually. I don't have a lot left. You know.
No, you got a lot of that corporate pressure.
Yeah, I got a lot of that corporate pressure. No, I just like some of the things that are happening today. I'm recording this in the car. I am not connected up to electricity, and you know my computer has a bad battery. So that's running down. I'm watching the numbers tick down there. My headphones were flat, so I've had to plug them into the computer. So that's an extra drain on the on the computer's limited resources.
And it must be, and you're in a hemisphere where it's summer, so I can't imagine it's beautiful weather to be inside a car.
Well, I have parked in the shade. That's my one saving grace. But I'm also doing this 16-8 diet. So I hadn't eaten anything until the stroke of 12 when what I did do...
What do the numbers represent?
The number of eight, so the number of hours. So you eat for a period of 8 hours. Right? Yeah. For me, that's between 12 in the middle of the day and 8 at night. And then you don't eat for 16 hours from 8 at night until 12 the next day.
Yeah, right.
So what I did was
at
midday, I shoved 2 handfuls of corn chips into my mouth, the most satisfying and nutritious of all the foods. Rich in all that the body requires.
Now, and I think it's very kind of you to book in the podcast at the moment where you are going to be absolutely the hungriest.
I am in the worst. This has been the hardest.
You're like,
ow,
I couldn't possibly meet at like 9 a.m. or something like that, because I will still have 3 more hours to become more ravenous and unable to focus.
Alistair, do you want me to go into the detail about why I couldn't move the time earlier
Andy,
than what we had
pre-planned? I do not want to. I do not want you to.
Great. Because I could go on and on. Believe me.
Andy, I know.
I'd like to do this at whatever time is convenient for you. If it was just me living in a void, Alistair, I would be at your mercy.
Imagine if you lived
anytime
in a void.
Anytime you wanted to change the time of the podcast, the first time we've attempted to do this internationally.
It's okay. I apologize.
I would be like erasable ink in your diary.
You would be a what?
Like erasable ink in your diary. I was going to say putty in your hands. But really, if I'm talking about...
I'm Sandra, and I'm just the professional your small business was looking for. But you didn't hire me, because you didn't use LinkedIn Jobs. LinkedIn has professionals you can't find anywhere else, including those who aren't actively looking for a new job, but might be open to the perfect role, like me.
In a given month, over 70% of LinkedIn users don't visit other leading job sites. So if you're not looking on LinkedIn, you'll miss out on great candidates, like Sandra. Start hiring professionals like a professional. Post your free job on linkedin.com/people today.
Changing the time of an appointment.
But I can't say, talk about putty in my hands, because it makes me hungry.
Because it would be more delicious than the handful of food that I had. Stale corn chips that I have eaten. At least they were
a good
brand.
Did I just hear you pick up some corn chips? Did I hear the ruffling of a couple of dry...
No, I've emptied the bag. It was just the dregs. The worst podcasting food.
You got a handful of bag.
Just a handful of bag, mate.
Andy, none of these are sketch ideas, and I apologize.
What about this?
Do you think that they put Doritos into the corn chips into a Doritos packet so that they can't be accessed by radio waves? Do you think?
Stop anybody hacking into your corn chips.
Into your Doritos. Into your Tostitos.
Mm. Nobody's going to... That's Tostitos. That's what I had. I was on the Tostito train.
Really? Yeah. I didn't realize you were hitting the Tosties.
I didn't realize you were doing so well. Oh, la-di-da.
Yeah, you are doing well. They're a higher grade corn chip.
Mm.
Do you think there's anything... in this, a reference to the movie Enemy of the State, where the people who make these mirrored chip packets, they reveal that the reason they've put them in these kind of mirrored bags is so that, you know, Wi-Fi and they can't, the chips can't be tracked.
The chips, well, the word chip is also in there as well. That's nice. And we've established that they're a bad food to eat while you're on radio, right? The chewing and the crunching.
Unmarked chips.
Yes. I mean, I think that could be something, Alistair. I don't quite see the full format of it, sketch-wise, but that's never stopped us before.
Do you see the full format of Horse Airplane? I guess you do, don't you?
Yeah, I really do. I see everything laid out
before
me.
What about Citizen Dictionariest?
Yeah.
What about a country where you have to... Yeah, okay.
That would be a citizen lexicographer.
I think that there's something... Ah, yes. Citizen lexicographer. I didn't want to bother you during the earlier parts of the podcast, so I didn't ask. You know, I think maybe it was when you were starting to have sound problems. I think he's got enough on his plate. A handful of Doritos.
All right. What else have we got, Alistair?
Chip bags, so chips.
Well, you mentioned something about unmarked chip bags, and that did make me think of that. Is it in The Simpsons where they go and they buy things in cans where the labels have come off, so you can get anything? You get them cheap, the labels have come off, so you buy the can, but you don't know what's in the can? Is that The Simpsons, or is that something else? Might have been a Paul Jennings book or something that I read when I was growing up.
Yeah, and so why, they didn't want to know what was in the cans?
No, well, you can get them cheap, right? So, like, if sometimes the labels come off cans in transit or in the shop or something like that.
Yeah.
And then they send those, because nobody knows what's in there, they send them to some sort of place where you can go and buy a whole lot of unmarked cans.
Oh, right?
And take them home, open them up, and then find out what you're having for dinner. And I'm pretty sure that in this book or whatever it was that I read, it was eyeballs in there. But I could be wrong.
Oh, well, that does sound like Paul Jennings, doesn't it?
Yeah, if there's eyeballs in there. Loose eyeballs.
Oh, it was a bunch of wet farts.
A wet fart. But then you mentioned unmarked chip bags, and I did think that was a nice idea.
All silver on the outside. He's like, yeah. I guess it's like those Harry Potter jelly beans, but it's a full bag of chips, you know?
I feel like you could do an art thing where you have a supermarket, right? And you've taken the labels off everything. All you've done is taken every single label off everything. So they're all just there. Everything's just unmarked. The chip bags are all just sort of loose silver. Man, that you could do this at Mona. David Walsh, he'd love this shit. You make a replica of a supermarket and just there's no writing. There's no words. Or there's no symbols. There's nothing. Yeah. And it's just, everything is just what it is, right?
Yeah.
Everything is just what it is. Isn't that a powerful
I think story? A lot of stuff you would be able to figure out what it is probably, just from the shape of the packet.
Sure, but I think it's a statement as well about marketing, you know, and its pervasive influence.
You could picture a pack of, you know, 4 and 20 pies even without, you know, and then you could also picture a packet of high-end pies, probably. Mm. Because they're in a box instead.
Maybe a 5 and 20. Maybe an 8 and 40.
4:20. Is that the time signature of those pies?
Yeah, that's right. That's what they're recorded in. Alistair, can you write down my idea?
Yes.
It's more
David
of an art.
Walsh.
It's more of a work of art.
His idea. David Walsh. Unlabeled supermarket. This is going to get you back to Tasmania, Andy.
I could do. I wonder what he'd pay for my unlabeled supermarket. That you walk around.
I think you'd have to make it first. That's the problem.
Ah, it's easy.
But luckily, you've got a bit of land, Andy.
A bit of land.
Finally, all this land is going to come in handy.
Oh, turn it into a
supermarket.
It's not
going to be the burden. Eh?
I'm thinking of opening a Woolworths.
Well, I mean, don't open the Woolworths. Open the one that you're talking about.
Yeah, no, that's true.
Just go raid a Woolworths
mm-hmm.
so that you can get the stock
mm-hmm.
and rub all the labels off or take the labels off. Mm-hmm. How would you get the outside part of the chip packets off, do you think? Or would you think you'd put them inside a different bag?
I feel like you could dip them in some sort of chemical and all that stuff would just come right off. I don't know what it is, but yeah, probably dip it in a chemical. But if I was an artist, I'd probably be going to the factory and having them specially do them for
you. Oh, yeah. Do you think that you might be an artist?
I resist the label of artists, as indeed I resist the labels on my art, because that's my... If somebody did call me an artist, I would probably have myself dipped in some kind of chemical
I'd go to the factory where they were made and ask to get a version of them without the label, probably to their mother, I suppose. Mm. And then I'd watch her and the father, I suppose, have sex. And you say, now don't do the thing that you did.
Mm.
Don't do the move that you did that caused this kid to,
have
this guy
identity.
To have labels.
Mm.
Have an identity or give out labels.
Was it you who shared with me that a little online sketch somebody had made where it was somebody running up to a car that's had a little accident? Right, and there's a lady in there sitting there. She's the airbag's out, and she's like, "There's chips all over the place." And she's like, "This airbag is mostly chips." Did you share that with me?
No, that wasn't me. I don't think.
I found it really funny, but I realized later I didn't get the joke at all. I was just like, "Oh, this is just absurd." The idea. I mean, what? It would be so bad. Your airbag comes out and it's full of chips. But of course, it's a play on the concept of this chip bag is mostly air.
Yeah.
I didn't realize that for a long time afterwards. And then it took away some of the magic for me. Because I really liked it.
Yeah, that's
it.
What
it
happens.
It's just so absurd.
It happens on Twitter when one of the Simpsons writers explains jokes.
One by one, taking the magic out of these.
Yeah, because the joke, you'll have to speak up, I'm wearing a towel.
Yeah.
Do you know that that's not just like a non sequitur?
No, you're kidding. What?
Do you want me to not ruin it for you?
Is
I can not
ruin
it.
Because women have towels around their heads when they get out of the shower?
Yeah.
Huh.
Did you already get that?
No, I just worked it out then when you told me there might be another layer. But like, is it a thing that women say? You'll have to speak up on wearing a towel.
Yeah. Maybe at the time it was, you know,
referring
more
to
women were wearing more things around towels. You don't see the head towel as much these days.
I've got to say that's really taken the fun out of that joke for me.
Yeah.
Wow, because before it was a window to a world of infinite possibility.
Yeah.
Where it could have meant anything. Now it just means one thing.
So then why are we working so hard to have things that make sense?
Well,
I
was reflecting on that sketch idea with the guy who comes into the shop. He's got really wet feet and he buys socks and then he pulls the socks on over his wet socks. And then he goes back out and he stands in a puddle outside the shop and just stares at the people inside and then slowly starts walking back in with his wet feet. And I was like, I think that might be my favorite idea from the podcast.
Yeah.
Because it
did
has
you see?
No.
Yeah.
Yeah. It's just a bit creepy.
Did you see during the comedy festival this year when I tried to do a version of that?
No, I don't think I did.
I tried to do a version on stage. I probably did it for two nights. And I went, oh, my foot sucks so wet. Sorry a second. I stepped in a puddle on the way here. And then I would just roll another sock over the top of it. And then you go, oh, that's better. And just because nobody was laughing.
Yeah,
so I was just like,
so you stopped
because nobody was it's not that kind of joke, you know?
It's
a joke that you take with you and you love forever. That's a joke you curl up in bed with and you enjoy. Exactly. It's not a joke that you laugh at.
Yeah, it's a joke that comforts you when you're trapped in a cabin in an avalanche.
Yeah.
Did you actually have a wet sock? Had you dipped your foot in water?
I fear that it might not have been wet enough. It was probably a little bit damp.
So it was actually wet?
Well,
before you went on stage, were you wetting your sock? This is what I need to know.
I wasn't wetting it enough, Andy.
Well, then, no, you weren't wetting it at all, were you? Just tell me you weren't wetting it at all.
Andy, there was moisture in my shoe. There was moisture.
What do you mean there was moisture in your shoe?
I don't think that my shoes were entirely dry.
Why are you keeping this from me and from the listeners? I can't believe,
Andy,
this is a place. This is an honest. Honesty is a big part of this podcast.
Andy, what I'm saying is I didn't add water to it. But I think there could. I think that it would be a lie to say that there was no moisture there at all. You know, and I don't want to lie to the listener either, you know, because we have an honesty policy.
Oh, this is the worst conversation I've ever had.
No, Andy, what about some of the conversations we had a little bit earlier in this episode?
Oh, that's true. They were pretty bad as well.
Yeah.
Alistair, I'm having a great time. It's really good to speak to you in Canada. I can't believe the outdoor temperatures are so different where we are.
Yeah, it's great to hear from you all the way in Australia.
Oh, no.
I mean, you're down under. We're going to have to call this season of the podcast Two in the Think Tank, Half Down Under.
Could we call this Two in the Think Tank 69 edition? Are we sort of 69ing at the moment?
It feels like it.
Well, if your feet are pointing towards my head and my head is pointing towards your feet, sort of. We're doing a sort of a real dislocated 69.
Yeah, and I think we've maybe discussed before that a phone, my voice going into your ear and your voice going into my ear, that's kind of an ear to mouth 69.
That's right.
You know, I think with our relative positions, orientations, and the ear to mouth things, it's like a wholesome 69, intercontinental 69. The wholesome intercontinental 69. That just sounds like a great episode title.
Could
be. Andy, technically we have 1, 2, 3, 4, 5, 6 ideas. So, you know, before you die of suffocation in this car and hunger. Are you allowed to drink during your 16 hours?
Why don't they just come up with a pet that thrives in hot cars? Salamanders thrive in hot cars. Why are we fighting it? We love to leave our pets in hot cars. Why fight it? Just get
exactly. What about a pet that it dies if you take it out of your hot car? This is a great idea.
This is a great sketch idea. Could it be a genetically modified dog?
Yeah.
Because I think, you know, the idea of people gathering around a car, there's a dog in there and he looks distressed or whatever. And they're like, we've got to break this window. And the person whose car it is runs up and says, don't do that. He's a genetically modified dog. He thrives in hot cars. And he's got a little sign on the sticker, on the window there. It says, I am genetically modified. It says, don't break the window. Look, I got a sticker.
Yeah.
He's not panting from distress. He's happy.
Yeah. He's a voodle. It's half poodle, half oven. That's not quite right, but you know what I mean.
He's a salamoodle.
Salamoodle. Do you think a salamander would do well in a hot car?
I think they like hot environments. Or maybe I'm just getting confused because there's a type of salamander called a fire salamander. And it's orange. I might have misconstrued as a child.
There's definitely like, you know, like a desert animal that would go, you know, one of those foxes with the big ears.
Yeah. It's a desert fox.
Or like or one of those like spiky lizards.
Yeah. Thorny devil.
So like half horny devil, half
desert
poodle.
Fox.
It's a horny doodle.
Don't try and get out my horny doodle.
Stop it. Leave my horny doodle in the car. I mean, for the sake of everyone, leave your horny doodle in the car. I think that's a great sketch idea, Andy.
I really like it. Yep. Alistair, we have listeners.
Yes.
And
do we?
They send us a sketch, some words on Patreon. Three words.
Okay, even. from who?
From them. From the listener, them. The them.
Oh, from the listener.
Yeah.
Yes. I mean, it'd be good if we had the listener.
Oh, I'll be so good.
And then everybody sends their words to that person. and then that person sends me the words.
Yes. Sort of. And then
every time
rerouted.
We do an episode.
Sort of like a virtual private network of some kind.
Yes. I just found out what the French word for network is. It's réseau.
Réseau.
Réseau. It doesn't sound anything like network.
No. That language is weird. It's a whole different thing they've got going on over there. Are you using that in one of your bits that you're translating into French?
Not yet. But I think it's going to be hard for me to do comedy and not talk about networks.
I realise, do they have like a... They'd have a whole French TV thing going on over there, wouldn't they? Like they'd have their own TV networks and shows that are on in French stuff.
They made a French Canadian version of The Office. They made a French Canadian version of what was it? Then what was the cop show with the 911?
Reno 911.
No, the other one.
Brooklyn 99.
Brooklyn 99. They had their French version of that. Quebec version.
Really?
Yeah.
Wow. Amazing.
When you got to make shows,
are you going to try and get a job on a French?
Look, at the moment, I just got to even see if I can talk French in front of a crowd and if I can make them laugh.
Bien sûr.
That's where I'm trying to head. That's where I'm heading for first. And then if I can make that happen, then maybe I can. Because I think if I can't do that, knowing that I can do it in English, it's going to be hard to convince a producer that I could do it on their show.
Yep.
Especially because my written English and my written French is much worse than my spoken French. And so that's another step that's going to make things more difficult. Oh, God, I hadn't thought about that. All right. We got a listener. Fuck. All right, we have three words from a listener, Andy. Today's listener is Emily Aubrey.
Emily Aubrey. Da-na-na-na.
Not Aubrey. Aubrey.
Emily Aubrey.
A-W.
Aubrey.
No,
Emily Aubrey. Wow. Emily Aubrey. It's a beautiful name. Gosh, that flows. That
Emily
tumbles
Aubrey.
Off the tongue like a absolutely. Body falling out the back of a
absolutely
of a, an
Kamagatsu's
accelerating
out the mouth.
How did an accelerating ambulance? Yes. Anyway, you go.
You know what I enjoyed about the name? At first, when I was writing it down, I wrote, because it's got, you know, the Emily ends in an IE, but I think the Aubrey ends in a Y.
Mm.
And then at first I was like, I wrote IE for both. And then I was like, oh, it should be for both. But then at the end, when after, I was like, you know what? You should get one of each.
Yeah.
I think that was nice that they did that.
Mm. I love it.
You know? Because then if you're going to end both words the same, why not start both words the same?
Yeah, and then why could do have anything
been like, at why all? Not, why not Wimely, Wybury, you know? And then why not ye? You know? In the end, that's where we're heading. That's what my kind of thinking sends us to.
Yeah. That's why I'm glad you're not in charge. Alistair's first week in charge. Already, he's got rid of all the letters except for Y. Oh, no.
Words will just be Y. Different lengths of Y.
And somebody, one of the journalists at the press conference puts their hands up and says, Y? And you're like, now you're getting it.
That's it.
That's the spirit.
Yeah. All right. You want to try and guess what Emily Aubrey's first of three words is?
Emily Aubrey's first word is Lagrange. Lagrange.
You went way too long. Should we be allowed to, you know, allow you to do proper nouns? I guess we have to.
We fucked it there. Scrabble rules.
Okay. No, sorry. I need the first word is prior.
Prior. Okay. P-R-I-O-R.
Yeah.
Okay.
I mean, it'd be crazy if I was telling you weren't allowed to have proper nouns and then us to tell you that the first name was a proper noun.
Well, the first word prior, was a proper noun. I think, can also be a religious position, Alistair. P-R-I-O-R.
Ah, like Richard Pryor.
Exactly. Okay, prior. Conviction is the second word.
Oh, no, Andy. Second word is mental.
Prior, mental, condition?
Andy, you got the first two letters right. And the third letter, you were only one letter off. Prior, what? Mental, commitments.
Prior, mental, commitments.
Prior mental commitment.
Commitments.
Why does that sound like prior mental? That sounds almost like environmental.
Sounds
prior
a little mental. Bit, but is this a play on something, do you think? Like, you know, prior commitments. You can have prior commitments. And I guess you can have a mental commitment possibly when you're committed to a mental asylum. Or a mental commitment could just be something where sort of in your brain you're like, oh, I've sort of already committed to that.
Mm.
But...
yeah.
Mm.
I mean, I guess that's what it could be. And maybe it's a reference to times that you have been imprisoned in a sanitarium.
Mm. Sanitarium? Sanatorium.
Isn't that what they used to...
Sanitarium is the Weet-Bix manufacturer in Australia.
I mean, I think that it's insane that they put their names so close
to mental asylum.
Yeah.
You're absolutely right. You're absolutely
like,
right.
When it's supposed to sound healthy.
Wild. It would be like if they, the name of that company, Sanitarium, if they'd chosen instead to call it Mantle Asylum. No,
yeah,
it's Mantle Asylum.
Asylum.
It's not, it's got nothing to do with mental asylums. No, it's a different word. Mantle.
Mantle Asylums. You're crazy. You're crazy.
People aren't going to hear that. People aren't going to hear that. Right, that's your head. Right. That's all in your head. Nobody else is going to be thinking that's got anything to do with mental asylums. Is that the sketch,
okay,
Alistair?
In the board. Yeah, I think I'm writing it down.
Of,
yeah,
sanitarium. where they're coming up with the name. This guy's really got his heart set on calling it that.
Yeah. And then he's like, all right, well, I've got a couple more ideas then if you don't like that one.
Looney Bun. Looney Bun.
Yeah, Looney Bun. What about this? Cruzy House.
Institution for the mentally unwell. That's my final offer.
All right. You don't like that one? Okay. what about this? Prazen. Prazen. Prison. S-U-N. Not the one where you lock people up. Prison.
Prison. That's something. Prior mental commitments. Have we done enough with these beautiful words?
Oh, no. We need to do one more, I think. You know, we just got to...
Prior mental commitments.
Yeah. Yeah, well, you know, sometimes you make...
What if you could... You've said you're going to go to an event, right? But you've double booked yourself. And so you just send your body along, right? Just your form. Yeah. While your mind is elsewhere. Possibly, you know, downloaded into a frog or something like that. So that you can still go to the body. Other thing.
You can do what you want with my body. But my mind will never belong to you, you say to your friend in your RSVP.
Somebody's
I will
double
be forever booked. Yours.
And then we'll see inside this party, this person's 40th birthday party, and it's just all these unconscious bodies that have been tipped out of wheelbarrows onto the floor. They're just sort of lying.
Maybe all their eyes are just like whited out.
Yeah.
And they're still participating in the party.
Are they still participating? I thought they would just be slumped around. We just see the person.
I don't know.
I
like the idea that it's just the brainstem keeping them going. They're
right.
Getting dipped.
Oh, sure. I think that's a really good
idea.
You
know. Yeah.
But then, yeah, where the mind is going to be? It'll be a future technology that will allow you to do this, to save face, to send your still living body along to events that you don't want to attend while you are mentally somewhere else, whether or not you're maybe even just staying at home watching television, but the body, we can separate
you couldn't
out
possibly go out tonight.
Yeah. Yeah. You just can't be fucked. And then it's sort of the next step in us being able to sort of, maybe invitations on Facebook or that sort of thing. You say like, oh, are you interested in going? Well, I'm interested in being there, but I'm not sure if I'm interested in going. I'm interested in being seen there. But then like the bodies, you can imagine the bodies without the minds in them, the bodies sort of maybe even having a much better time.
Well, you could also like picture your body coming back and really like, and it's a mess and you're like, oh, what did my body do? You know, and then you're like, oh, turns out my body hooked up with the host.
Yeah.
My body slept with the host's wife.
Imagine if you found out that the bodies were all having this massive orgy while we weren't there. We didn't know this, but the bodies were all doing that. They probably would.
Yeah, because I guess they would be, it's more like they're more primal.
Yeah.
And so like, they're like, and then you have like babies that come from...
Body babies.
Like these kinds of they're body babies. We just call them body babies, but they're just from various parties that you couldn't be fucked going to.
Like, some oh, body no. got like, me yeah. pregnant.
I got some body pregnant.
Bodily then, autonomy.
So then,
this is really backfired.
So then, but then technically the people who have like this is not my baby, this is my body's baby.
So when it's time for the body to spend time with their baby, they just send the body around without the mind.
Yeah. Maybe the baby's born with whited out eyes as well, so it's a bit
Well, that's a good question, whether or not maybe the baby would be born without a mind, without a soul.
Yeah.
But it's, I don't it's a think body so. That... I would I'd like to
no,
think it's
no,
still
I think
a
it
baby.
Would just be a regular baby. Yeah, I mean, it'd be awful. I mean, but when you grew up, you could send it. You could, you know, especially having a baby around that looks a bit like you, you could send it to parties instead of you having a go.
It's exciting.
Once it grows up big, and you could just like do its hair just like you. Put some contact lenses in it that match your eye color and stuff like that to get rid of the whited out eyes.
Have everybody say how young you look.
Yeah.
Imagine that, right? You're a vain adult. Now, society would probably, in the movie of this, make the person a woman, but I'm not necessarily. I don't want to make that specific comment, but it's somebody who's very vain as an adult, so they make up their child to look exactly like them. Their young, you know, sort of 18-year-old child, send it along to parties in their stead. And when the child comes back, they make the child recount all the compliments that they got about how young they look to them. And they're like, oh, yes.
Oh, that feels good.
I mean, tell me how young everybody said I looked. Yes.
Yeah, but you know how hard it is to get information out of a kid.
Yeah, it's true. Maybe you'd have to have a little microphone attached to them so you could be listening at home.
I told you about that tweet I saw where a lady was like, today when my kid came home, I asked her what happened at school, and she said nothing. And then later on, I saw a photo of her holding a crocodile.
It's really good. Alistair, I reckon that's the episode.
Oh my gosh, we did it. And not just an episode, we also got to recount a tweet. So that's fun. Let's
and I described that TikTok video earlier as well. We're turning into a real aggregator, aren't we?
Absolutely. This is like Dig with two G's. Mm. or
two G's in the think tank is what we're going to start calling this.
That's right. Well, this is like Reddit. This is the front page of the Podverse.
Reddit with two D's.
Yes. Mm. Read it.
All right.
They should have called it Read It.
They should have called it that.
Anyway, Horse Airplane is the first sketch idea. That's because they put the masks on themselves with their mouths. And so it's the airplane where you would have to put other people's masks on first because it would be too difficult to put on somebody else's mask with your mask on already.
I think as a horse, it's fundamentally impossible to put on your own horse mask. So I think on any plane,
well, they're not designed for humans.
There's always going to be one horse left over who doesn't have a mask on, who has to.
I know, but you
got to
admit, Andy, these are masks designed for horses that horses can put on.
Yeah.
There's probably like an elastic in the above, you know, place to hook the elastic above their head, and then push their face into.
I hope you're right.
Yes. I mean, I'm not going to... That, you know, it would have all been worked out by some horse engineer. Then we've got citizen lexicographers. The dictionary has two hotlines, one for words and one for definitions, you know? People can suggest both. And I think it's a great idea. It's a great new system. Mm. We got translator who almost explodes from the translatee going on for too long.
Yes.
Before, you know, letting him have his part.
Swells up.
A country where you have to make jokes about the king. Mm. Then we have the mirrored chip bags, so chips can't be tracked by satellites. I think there's something in that. My chips are off the grid. Yeah. I learnt this from that actor in that movie, Enemy of the State. Then we have the David Walsh unlabeled supermarket art idea. And it's called David Walsh because he's going to love it.
He's the owner of Mona. He's the Mona owner.
Mona owner. And owner is spelled O-N-A.
Mm-hmm.
Then a pet bread for staying in hot cars. If it gets out, it dies. Do you think I should write down that it's a horny devil crossed poodle?
Horny horny doodle. I think you should.
Horny doodle. All right. Then we got sending empty-minded body to party, whited-out eyes, and your mind is at home. They get pregnant. I think there's a really fun.
And I think the idea of chastising your body when it gets home because it's been out so late. Yeah. What's it been up to? Treating it like a child.
But then, what are you in? Is your box head inside a computer at the time?
I think your computer's got a robotic arm. Yes, exactly. A weird little robot with a little screen on it. Yeah.
It'd be so funny to control a robot arm and then spank your own.
Spank your own body.
Like spanking your own body while you're not in it, so you don't have to feel the pain.
Yeah, it's really good.
Oh, that's really fun. This is a movie. Mm. Andy, we're gonna have another movie. And that's it, Andy. That's it.
So good.
I guess we
go
to the song now.
Thank you so much for listening to In the Think Tank. Well, I've got 20% battery left on this computer, Alistair. I mean, I don't know what I was worried about. I'm fucking laughing.
Andy, let's go for another one.
Let's go back in. We've got to do bonus episodes soon, Alistair.
Oh, yeah. It comes around quick.
Sure comes around.
But it's always a joy to do. Hey, do you think we should do a...
Let's do another Sci-Fi Try Guys. I had such a good time last time. I want to do more.
Yeah.
I'm back in, baby. Yeah.
Oh, I want to get back in too. All right, I'm back in then. I'm going to write one.
Great. I'll see you there. Yeah. I'll see you in there.
All right. See you in the two of the what was it called? Sci-Fi Try Guys. No, but Sci-Fi Apologize Guys.
Oh, that's right.
No, I can't remember. Anyway.
Sci-Fi Apologize. And
we love you.
Bye bye. From Australia.
And from Canada.
Acast powers the world's best podcasts. Here's a show that we recommend.
Kayla Itzinas.
I'm Kayla Itzinas, and I have been training a global community of women since 2009. I've created a brand new podcast, Sweat Daily, to help you level up your life and reach your health and well-being goals. From fitness tips to food that fuels you, meditation to motivation, we've got you covered. Sweat Daily, the happiest, healthiest, and most confident version of you awaits. Available on Apple Podcasts and wherever you get your podcasts.
Acast helps creators launch, grow, and monetize their podcasts everywhere. Acast.com.